Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back here on The Fan as we get you set for another wonderful week of fantasy football. Joining me right now, a guy who I will blame for any failures I have in my fantasy football matchup on Sunday, because all of my sit-start decisions will be made based on his rating system, and that is Dave Richard, of course, of CBS. And you can go to cbssports.com. You can see how he rates guys from 1 to 10. It can help you start and sit guys. And, Dave, I'm telling you, every decision I make this week, it's going to be on you. So don't screw it up.
So that means that when you win this week and then eventually win your league, if there's a prize involved, that's going to come my way, right?
It's very possible. Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you a tip. Like a dollar
you know,
or two.
I'm on board. Let's do this.
Well, the first thing I'm already depressed about, and I'll start selfishly and then we'll go around the league. But selfishly, one of the decisions I have to make is a decision between Mark Ingram and Kerryon Johnson. And all year long, I have been loyal to Ingram. When he's played, obviously, he missed the first four games and whatnot. And this week, I was ready to make the change. I was ready to make the move to Kerryon Johnson. And then I looked at your rankings, and you gave Ingram a higher mark than Kerryon. So you are going to convince me not to go with what I initially was going to do, Dave.
Well, the key here is that I believe the New Orleans Saints are going to have a lead and keep the lead over Philadelphia. That Eagles defense is so beat up, especially in the secondary, that I think that they can jump out to a 2 or 3 score lead before the fourth quarter even starts, and that'll help Mark Ingram get some extra carries in the fourth quarter. I think he could also be part of the reason why the New Orleans Saints have a 2 or 3 score lead on the Philadelphia Eagles, because he's been playing so well, not just as a runner, but also as a pass catcher. And just any time the Saints are playing at home in a big game, I trust them. And that'll include Mark Ingram. And it's not a knock on Kerryon Johnson. I think Kerryon Johnson's going to do just fine, but I don't know just how much work he's going to get, because I don't trust that coaching staff to put the ball in his hands and say, okay, Kerryon, 25 touches, we're going to give you the Saquon Barkley treatment. Go out there and do your thing. They're going to use Theo Riddick. They're going to use LeGarrette Blount. I don't know why. They won't take a lot of work off of Kerryon's plate, but I do know this. The Lions are going to trail in this game against Carolina. That's going to be bad for Kerryon Johnson's chances to have multiple scores like he did last week. I think Mark Ingram has the better chance to score and the better chance to total 100 yards than Kerryon Johnson.
When you look at Detroit right now, and I agree, I think they'll probably lose that game to Carolina. I picked Carolina laying the points in our weekly pick segment. But right now, Stafford's got very few weapons. I mean, they traded away Golden Tate. Marvin Jones is banged up. Is this going to be a big benefit to Kenny Golladay? How do you see the touches working out in Detroit?
Well, in terms of the passing game, I think it's going to be huge for Kenny Golladay, because they don't have a lot else. They are beat up. It looks like Marvin Jones is not expected to play. They traded away Golden Tate, and there's no way he's going to play. And even their tight end situation is thin. So I think by default, you're going to see Kenny Golladay get double-digit targets. And typically any time a wide receiver gets double-digit targets, he comes through for good fantasy numbers. And certainly the advice would be to start that player. Carolina's pass defense, you saw what they were like against Pittsburgh last week. Generally, they can be competent. And this week, they might even try and double-team Kenny Golladay. But the Lions can scheme him open, and those targets will be there. So I like him as a number two receiver this week. I think he can get you 7 catches, probably over 100 yards. He'll do better than Kerryon Johnson this week, too.
Are you buying Corey Davis? He had that huge game against the Patriots fantasy-wise. Certainly Mariota's starting to figure things out. Are you liking where Corey Davis is right now?
I spent some time this week watching the Titans' last 2 games. It's their 2 games since they came off the bye. And Evan, I'll tell you what, they look like a completely different unit from where they were at the beginning of the year. Marcus Mariota's hand must be healed, because he's accurate and he's taking some dangerous shots to all of his wide receivers. He's leaning on Corey Davis, and if you watch Corey Davis play, you can see why. He's big, he's physical, he's fast, he runs really nice routes. He looks like a top 5 receiver, which is what he was drafted as, so that's really no surprise. But the difference between now and then is that he seems to be aware of what he's doing. He's got a quarterback that's getting him the football, And this is a team that's going to surprise some people this week. They're going to put up a lot of points. Love the idea of going with Corey Davis. I'm kind of fighting myself on putting him in my top 12 this week, which would make him a number one fantasy receiver. But the matchup is just so good. Indianapolis is secondary. They're better against slot receivers than they are outside guys. Corey Davis is an outside guy. And again, another wide receiver that's going to get 10-plus targets. You're going to want to start Corey Davis. And Mariota's a good start, too, especially if you've got Tom Brady. You can't use Brady anyway because he's on bye. He's been bad the last 3 weeks. I think Marcus Mariota is a great replacement for Brady this week. And then you go back to Brady in week 12 when he plays the Jets, because it's the Jets. You know how that goes.
I understand.
If Brady stinks against the Jets, you can go to Mariota in week 13 when he takes on the Jets. And that should be a good matchup for him as well.
I like that. Just going with the anti-Jet pickup, which makes sense. I totally get it. And it's funny. You look at the buys this week. You've got six teams on a bye, which is a big number. And you would think that that's a really tough week fantasy-wise. The more you think about it, there's not a lot of great players on bye because the Buffalo Bills are on bye. The New York Jets are on bye. The Miami Dolphins are on bye. The Niners are on bye. I know George Kittle has certainly been hot, but there's not a lot of great fantasy players out considering you've got six teams on bye week this week.
So the funny thing that we've talked about here, and when we've mentioned it even on our podcast, is that next week might be harder than this week.
Yes.
When it comes to filling up byes, because next week the Chiefs and the Rams are
yes.
on bye, and those are the only two teams that are going to be on bye, but everybody starts those guys.
Yep.
So that's kind of the reality of the situation. You said it, man. Most of the AFC East is just brutal. Obviously, the Patriots aren't. They've got a lot of good players for fantasy, but the rest of the teams stink. 49ers have a couple of guys. The Browns have a couple of guys. We'll get by without them. Next week, it's going to be harder when you don't have Gurley, you don't have Kareem Hunt, you don't have Patrick Mahomes, you don't have Jared Goff, no Tyreek Hill, no Travis Kelce. That's going to be a tougher week for fantasy owners than this week.
No question. I think it's a great point because those two teams feature more guys that you're starting consistently than those six teams combined. No question about it. We're talking to Dave Richard of CBS. Let's look at this Cowboy-Falcon game fantasy-wise. How much do you love Amari Cooper in this matchup?
I love what I've seen from Cooper since the trade. It's two games. It's 18 targets. It's good production. Lots of catches. They're force feeding him the ball. We can put him in the same conversation as Kenny Galladay and Corey Davis in terms of a high volume receiver. I don't know if he's, this is going to sound funny, I don't know if he's quite as good as Corey Davis at this point, but he's doing great. And Dak's doing great too. And this whole offense has really changed ever since Amari Cooper came in. And lo and behold, they've got a passing presence to go along with their run game, which has always been very good. And I think this is a great matchup for Dallas. I kind of stinks that they're on the road the second week in a row. And I'm pretty sure they're going to be chasing the scoreboard because the Falcons offense tends to put up a lot more points when they're at home versus on the road. But I do think that Dak Prescott can be good for about 20 fantasy points, a couple of touchdowns, a couple of turnovers too, but the yardage will be there. I think Cooper will be good, and obviously Ezekiel Elliott will do his thing. And the fact that he's catching more passes, it's helping Dak, but it's helping his fantasy profile too. And Atlanta is terrible against running backs that catch passes out of the backfield. So I would expect Ezekiel Elliott to get more catches than usual this week.
And on the Atlanta side, now Julio Jones remembers what the end zone is like, and now he's going to get
sure.
there all the time, I think.
Yeah, and I think this is a good week for Tevin Coleman as well. We've seen the Cowboys run defense. When they don't have Sean Lee, they're not quite as good. And I mentioned it, they're on the road the second week in a row, so they're going to be kind of tuckered out from their past games. And I think that you will see them get exploited with the run game, and I think that'll be really good for Coleman this week.
Maybe Calvin Ridley set the bar way too high earlier in the season when he had that 3-touchdown game, the 40-point fantasy day. What about him right now? What do you make of Calvin Ridley in that offense?
I don't mind taking a chance on him pretty much in any matchup, but certainly when he's playing at home on that fast track. I know that the Dallas pass defense has played well this season. They just haven't seen a full slew of wide receivers. Of course, they've played against Odell, and Odell's done some really good things. But they've also taken on teams like Carolina, Jacksonville, and Washington, teams that don't have a lot of great wide receivers. I think you're going to see Calvin Ridley get some opportunities, and I wouldn't be surprised at least if he takes a short pass to the house. I like him best if you can start him in your flex, or maybe as a bye week replacement at wide receiver. That's fine. I don't know if I'm going to trust him as a top 20 guy, but a top 30 guy, no problem. I think he'll get you there.
Talking to Dave Richard of CBS, the Buccaneer-Giant game, especially on Tampa side, there's so many guys that I could talk myself into starting, but easily say, I don't want to play him this week. On the Giants side, look, you know you're playing Saquon, you know you're playing Odell. But on the Tampa side, outside of Mike Evans, do you start Peyton Barber? Do you start DeSean Jackson? Do you start Chris Godwin? Do you start Adam Humphries? Do you start O.J. Howard? There's a lot of, I don't know, with the Tampa offense because they got so many weapons.
And they're making so many changes. They've changed play callers now. Dirk Koetter called the plays last week. There's no telling if he's going to do that again this week or if he'll give it back to Todd Monken. They're better with Monken calling plays than they are with Koetter. And they're a mess. And I know that the Giants in general, they're a mess too, but maybe they're starting to figure their way out. The offensive line played better last week. The defense played a little bit better. And their pass defense has been fairly good all season long. So to me, it comes down to, do you trust the player before you trust the matchup? And I always do. And I'll play matchups plenty as well, but if the player isn't any good, I'm not going to go with it. And so that's the case with Peyton Barber. He's touchdown dependent. I don't want to use him. DeSean Jackson's good. He just hasn't been good for fantasy lately, and I think the Giants can clamp him down, so he's more of a flex to me. I don't know if Chris Godwin's going to even play in the game. O.J. Howard's a little bit of a different story. I don't think the matchup is so great for him, but the tight end position is just so thin that you can't help but go with him knowing what his potential is week in and week out, and you just hope that he has a bounce back in. And as for Ryan Fitzpatrick, if I knew for sure that he was going to play four quarters, I would start him this week. I would take the chance on him just by nature of his game and the volume that he has, the number of yards that he has week in and week out. I mean, he's not going to get zero touchdowns 2 weeks in a row, but I'm concerned that he could get benched. If he comes out and he lays an egg in the first half, we've seen the Bucs change quarterbacks twice already this season, mid-game. What's stopping them from doing it a third time with Jameis Winston as their quarterback to replace Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I think that when the Broncos traded away Demaryius Thomas, there was a thought, all right, Cortland Sutton's going to get a lot of opportunities. He could really break through. It's only been, if I'm not mistaken, one game because they had the bye last week, and it was blah. There was nothing there. Do you expect Sutton to break out this week or next week?
I think this is a tricky game to expect that breakout from him against the Chargers on the road. Even though I do expect Denver to trail in the game, I don't think the matchup's really that great for him because I think the Chargers are pretty loaded in their secondary. And you can say the same thing about the Steelers, who the Broncos play in Week 12, the Bengals, who the Broncos play in Week 13. I think that there are definitely some tough matchups ahead. And Sutton is just the type of receiver that you don't want to thrust in the lineups. You just want to keep him on your bench and wait and see what happens. Believe it or not, we saw Jeff Heirman get a big volume of targets in the first game without Demaryius Thomas. He had 11 of them. He caught 10 of them. Most of them were like 2 yards off the line of scrimmage, and then the big guy just kind of fell forward whenever a defensive player was near him. If he continues to get even half of that volume, he'll be a decent tight end play, especially in PPR leagues. It's a little bit of a risk to go with Heirman, but the matchup's favorable against the Chargers. They've allowed a touchdown to a tight end in 3 of their last 4 games.
Who benefits from the Cooper Kupp injury?
Well, I don't know if there's necessarily a good answer for that. I know that Josh Reynolds will probably see the biggest bump in playing time. He'll work in the slot, but I don't know if that means he's going to get the type of targets that Cooper Kupp gets. I think he could see maybe half of those targets, and the other half of those targets will probably go to 2 different tight ends. They've got Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee. Higbee tends to play more than Everett, but Everett's a little bit more explosive. I don't think there's a winner. I don't think there's somebody who benefits. I'm kind of shrugging as I say this. I think it's going to be Reynolds, but I'm not in a hurry to start him, and certainly not this week. That Chiefs pass defense has actually gotten a little bit better over the past few weeks. They've been using Kendall Fuller in the slot quite a bit, and he's going to be the one that would line up against Josh Reynolds, and I think that's a winnable matchup for Kansas City and a tough one for the Rams.
We're talking to Dave Richard, getting you set for your fantasy football weekend. What defense do you like?
Well, let's start with Arizona. Just the fact that they're going up against Oakland and the fact that the Raiders can't score touchdowns, they were the top DST to pick up. Ravens were already owned in a bunch of leagues, but they're going to take on Cincinnati. There's no A.J. Green. And then next week, Baltimore plays against the Raiders, so that's a good one for 2 weeks. I don't hate the Saints. I think they'll get a couple of takeaways and maybe some sacks. I think the Steelers are a great play against Jacksonville. The Vikings and Bears defenses, by default, they're really good units. They're going to get some numbers. They're top 12. And then I'm going to knock your socks off, Evan. The Giants. against Tampa Bay, because we've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick, 5 turnovers in his last 2 games. Tampa Bay's offensive line, nothing to write home about. I think the Giants could be a good streaming option. If you're really in a pickle this week at defense, you could go with them.
It's not crazy, because Ryan Fitzpatrick is more than capable of throwing 5 interceptions in 1 game. We've seen it.
And if he gets benched, so is Jameis Winston.
Oh, well, Jameis Winston even more so, absolutely. Dave, always appreciate it. Thank you very much for popping on, my friend.
You got it, Evan, and good luck in your leagues. Now I've got a rooting interest in your team.
You've got a vesting interest. That's right, Dave. And if things don't work out, I will be cussing you out.
That's fine. That's what I'm here for.
That's right. Dave Richards, CBS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.